Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting of May 11, 2009. We appreciate you being here and look forward to your comments as we go through our agenda this evening. As we begin, if you desire to stand with us for a prayer and a pledge, we appreciate that.
Let us pray to our Savior for his presence among us tonight. We give you thanks, O Lord. Your goodness and mercy are great. Be present with us tonight as we continue the service to our city and her people. We thank you for those who assist us in our duties and are grateful for their friendship and caring. Bless our nation, president, governor, and staff. Keep our defenders of freedom safe and in your care as they protect us. Comfort those who wait at home in their hours of loneliness and anxiety. Let them know of your presence. In the name of the Lord we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looking at our agenda, are there any comments, questions? If not, do we have a motion and second to approve the agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the agenda as printed.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item one there, the minutes, the consideration of the minutes of the work session of April 20th, 2009. Work session of April 27th, 2009, and the regular meeting of April 27th, 2009. Are there any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Under old business, first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Mr. Mayor, we had one appointment for tonight, but I believe that person has withdrawn their nomination for that position.
You're exactly right. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to recommend the reappointment of Catherine Thomas to the Arts Commission. She has expressed her willingness to serve.
Okay. Are there any others that nominations that would be on the agenda for appointment next meeting? Anyone have anyone?
Not yet. Okay.
Since Tom Abbott was my appointee, then I'll have another appointee, hopefully by the next, or nominee, I should say, by the next meeting. Okay. Item 2 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 856 Lincoln Avenue. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken. Certain property consisting of 0.3 acres of land, more or less, owned by Celestine and McDonald Walker, and to zone the same residential single-family RS8. This piece of property, they would like to receive city services, primarily the sanitary sewer, but also the police and garbage that collection that we have there. And it was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 856 Lincoln Avenue under the RS8 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a public hearing, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. And as we go through our meeting, if you want to speak, and we acknowledge you to speak, just come up to the microphone, please, and give us your name and your address as we go forward with the agenda. Okay, not seeing anyone, it's back to City Council for consideration of this particular item.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
The motion is to approve the property owner's request of Celestine and McDonald Walker at 856 Lincoln Avenue to approve this request for this residence.
Okay, got that motion. Do we have a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to deed storm sewer easement to Walgreens on Richland Avenue West. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by the title. It's an ordinance approving the execution of a quitclaim deed to a storm sewer easement located in Kelmia Professional Plaza. In this pure case, this is the new Walgreens that's going to be built at the old Satcher location. They discovered there was a storm sewer easement running through the middle of the property. They would like us to quitclaim that easement or that property that we had. In turn, they're going to give us another easement for the water and sewer at a different location based on what engineering would prefer. This has been reviewed by our engineering department, and they find it acceptable. This received first reading approval, and this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to abandon the storm sewer easement at the Walgreens on Richland Avenue and to accept a new easement for city utilities on the east side of the property.
Okay, thank you, sir. This, too, is a second reading and public hearing, so if there's anyone in the audience who wants to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, back to council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move for approval of the execution of a quitclaim deed to the Walgreens on Richland Avenue West.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the concept plan to allow trailers at 1310 East Pine Log Road. Mr. Duke, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by the title. It's an ordinance amending the concept plan for property located at 1310 East Pine Log Road and owned by Canterbury Crossings, LLC. This is the location of the business called Boots, Bridles, and Britches. And as many of you know, it also has feed in there for the horses and the equine community. We, being public safety, has reviewed this and find it really not acceptable to be storing all that feed and hay inside the building. They, in turn, would like to go ahead and have up to 3 trailers in the very back of the building. We looked at it, recommended a few trees and shrubs be placed in the detention area, pond area, so that the trailers behind there would not see the mobile home type trailer park, would not see the trailers, tractor trailers that would be there. Everybody has found this to be acceptable. So we are recommending approval of the trailers there under the conditions that you see listed here, that they not be any closer to 20 feet to the building. We've talked about the shrubbery that the planning director has seen out there. The trailers would be no more than 3. They would not be any more than 48 feet in length, 8 feet in width, and 13 feet in height. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan at 1310 East Pine Log Road for Boots, Bridles, and Britches.
Okay, thank you, sir. This, too, is a second reading and public hearing of this issue. If anyone would like to speak on this one. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move approval of the ordinance to revise a concept plan to allow trailers at 1310 East Pine Log Road, subject to the 3 conditions listed in our memo and in the ordinance.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for University Health Services, Incorporated. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. The ordinance title, again, is an ordinance approving the concept plan for property owned by University Health Services, Incorporated, and located on the east side of Silver Bluff Road. This project came before you a few months ago, and at that time they were asking for 3 parcels of property, adding up to over 70,000 square feet of office space. At that time, council turned it down because they were very concerned about the traffic. They then revised that plan and came back to you at the last meeting through the Planning Commission, now asking for 1 building that would have 17,000 square feet. When the property was annexed in the city back in 2006, the original concept plan was for 3 rather large buildings occupying approximately 60,000 square feet in space with approximately 3,000 cars per day. And that's what council approved at that time. And because the size of the building, the shape of the buildings, the type of the buildings, and what they would look like. This is why it is back for City Council for approval. They have now come back to this one building, which would have approximately 600 cars per day. The Planning Commission, when they approved this, had a number of conditions concerning this. And I'm going to just read those because I know it's of interest to a lot of people in the audience tonight. One, that the development comply with the submitted concept plan, building elevations, and narrative that you have in your package. Two, that minor changes to the building and site plan may be approved by the planning director, including changes that would preserve additional trees. Three, that the waiver position of the access management ordinance request by the applicant to allow the location of the proposed driveway be approved. That the planning director be given authority to allow a pedestrian and or vehicular connection to the subdivision to the south. Five, that the conditions in the annexation of 2006 of a northbound deacceleration lane on Silver Bluff Road be deleted. This was at the request of the Highway Department. Six, that there be only one monument sign with a base of brick of the same color type used in the building facade. The planning director approved the size, location, design of the freestanding sign and the design and size of the wall and sign. Number seven is a new one, which based on questions that council had concerning the property being taxed, Mr. Smith, our city attorney, added that the applicant intends to develop this property with the assistance of a commercial developer. The applicant shall prepare a plat that describes the area to be leased to the commercial developer. The plat shall be prepared to the satisfaction of the planning director and shall be in conformity with the concept plan that is approved in this ordinance. The plat shall be recorded at the Aiken County RMC office prior to issuance of a certificate of occupancy. This is here so that the property, we feel, based on this statement, will be a taxable piece of property by the City of Aiken for the building. Eight, that the owner execute an agreement listing the conditions of approval and the agreement be recorded by the city at the RMC within 90 days. So tonight you have before you this new concept plan. We have met with the developer on a number of occasions to look at certain items that the City Council has asked us to review. As we told the developer of the property, that if you approve phase one tonight, that does not mean that phase two or phase three or any subsequent phases automatically have approval. That each of those phases, if they want additional buildings, parking lots, or anything else, would have to come back to you. And based on what may or may not occur within phase one, there may be need for more parking, more landscaping, less landscaping, depending on different needs that we'll find within this medical complex. So again, tonight is for phase one only. This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to change the concept plan for University Health Services on Silver Bluff Road.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing, of course, of this issue as well. And I know there are probably a number of you that would like to speak on this issue, and you're certainly welcome to. I think I'd like to give Dr. Lassa, however, the applicant, an opportunity to say anything he would like to say about this before we start having any other questions or what have you, if you'd like. If not, you can wait and just answer whatever questions there may be. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. Let's start up over here, go around kind of like that. We don't need a sign-up sheet, any of the things like that. We'll have to let everybody speak. And so we'll start over here. And who would like to speak first? And just please, as I said earlier, just come up, give us your name and your address, if you would, please. And we'll see. Okay.
Good evening, Mayor. My name is Pat Cunning. I live at 113 Mulberry. I've got one letter to hand to you. This was given to me from John Pavilio, who was not able to attend tonight because he was a celebrity waiter, as I'm sure y'all all know. I'm just going to read this, and John wanted to make sure that this was put in the record. Okay. He resides at 113 Live Oak, Aiken, South Carolina. I would like to make a couple statements concerning the impact of traffic in this area of Silver Bluff Road. Please review the present plan carefully, especially the assumptions that are used to determine the estimated traffic count at peak hours. I would also request that another study be performed before you act on this change. The area of Silver Bluff Road has many new offices, apartments, houses, a shopping plaza, as well as a bank and the post office. Therefore, during the day, there are a great number of left-hand turns requiring the center turn lane, suicide lane, to be used, causing congestion. A study should be done between peak hours when most of the left-hand turns are being made. Increased traffic during the peak hours is an inconvenience since it takes more time to get from A to B, but increased left-hand turns during business hours is a safety issue. Please don't put development before safety. Thank you, John Pavilio. I'd just like to enter this, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and City Council, the main reason I'm here is really not to speak against University Hospital accommodation. That's not why I'm up here, but I am up here to talk about, it was brought up about fairness and everybody being treated equal, and I really believe that there's certain issues that we really need to get entered into the record. The first of this is real estate taxes. That's the first and main concern, which I have. This was addressed somewhat by Councilman Smith, and I think that you have addressed it somewhat, but from what I understand, while the buildings and parking areas would be taxed, the land may or may not be taxed, and I am very concerned about that. If the land, I'm talking about all 7 acres, is owned for non-for-profit, will the land be included in the tax value of the office building and the parking areas? This land was purchased for an excess of $2 million, and as a result, city and county taxes on the land would be approximately $36,000 per year, depending on what y'all do with the millage later on. Will this property pay its taxes like every other commercial project in the city, or will the owners attempt to utilize the non-for-profit status to avoid paying taxes, their fair taxes on the land? This property tax on land is paid by every other commercial and residential real estate owner in Aiken, including everybody here. Paying tax on land value is a question of fairness, and in economic times like the present, shouldn't all owners pay their fair share to support our community? City Council needs to ensure that all taxes on this property will be paid, not just a portion related to the buildings and parking area. If this project is not required to pay its full real estate taxes, then why shouldn't future commercial developments simply donate their land to a charity and thereby reduce taxes paid by its tenants? I would suggest any approval of this request be subject to a requirement that all the property, including land and buildings, be subject to city and county taxes. Make no mistake, this is not a not a charitable, but a for-profit activity, and it is a commercial real estate venture. Believe me, I'm in that business, and I know. The second area is traffic, and this was the area that Councilman DeWar raised, and traffic is an issue out there. I must first of all disclose that my employer, Woodside Development, has been required to pay significant amounts to the city for traffic improvements in connection with previous approvals. That's one of the main reasons why I'm here, as far as one of fairness. Woodside is currently paying a traffic impact fee of approximately $270,000, which was the city worked with us, and we pay $300 per home built in phase four of Woodside. I think we're one of the few subdivisions that actually has paid a traffic impact fee. This impact fee was required due to a future turn lane which might be needed to be installed at the intersection of Silver Bluff Road and Shucker Creek Road, as well as other possible improvements at Chime Bell, Church Road, and Whiskey Road. The fact that these two interchanges are approximately 1 mile and 4 miles from Woodside Plantation makes me wonder why some traffic improvements are not required on the university site. Similarly, at the village of Woodside, we have been required to spend more than $250,000 for turn lanes and a future traffic signal to alleviate potential future traffic issues. Compare this scenario with the University Hospital project, which is located directly adjacent to an intersection which is routinely backed up, a so-called fail intersection, which currently creates a significant annoyance for residents traveling to downtown. Why shouldn't a developer dumping traffic directly into a current failing intersection pay some fair share to correct traffic problems in this area? Shouldn't some road improvements or mitigation payments be required of some sort? There's also been numerous other commercial developments where road improvements have been required. I believe the new Walmart and both new Walgreens had to pay something to improve their areas. I know the traffic issue is influenced somewhat by the previous approved site, and believe me, if anybody in this room understands what y'all have to go through, I do. However, now is the time to require road improvements or other considerations to protect Aiken residents that would be forced to deal with additional traffic. The third area of concern is density and green space. I have already mentioned the Village at Woodside. We currently require to have 69% green space, including the additional public amenities such as walking trails, two large village green parks, and a 50 to 100-foot green space buffer. The 100 feet is actually the amount required on frontage on Silver Bluff. Commercial development was limited to approximately 3,600 square feet per acre. At the time of the approval, the city talked an awful lot about the smart growth principles, and while we may have disagreed with some of them, believe that the smart growth principles do, in fact, that's how the village was designed. That's why we put so much green space in there, and we did do things like walking trails and parks. The character and beauty of Aiken as it grows, the smart growth principles is used to maximize the benefit of all residents. We have to make sure that these same principles are applied in order to be effective. While University Hospital development currently seeks only 17,000 square feet of commercial area, why is this development not subject to the same density limitations and space requirements as a village? I'm slightly concerned when I look at the land plan about what is the future. If this is what the plan is, then they really more than comply. But does anybody honestly believe that this is it? And does anybody believe that there won't be more development on this site? Now's the time to really study this land plan. I feel it is in the best interest of all Aiken residents to have a consistent and thoughtful rules applied to all developments. Green space and good land planning and design, otherwise known as smart growth, is a key element of this. In summary, and I truly mean this, I am not against University Hospital coming to Aiken. They are a quality hospital. However, I believe there's a duty of City Council to ensure that this development is subject to the same rules as other businesses in Aiken. This project should pay its fair taxes, should mitigate serious traffic problems that would create or worsen, should be subject to the same density and green space requirements for the entire property. As all the other developments in Aiken. They should play by the same well-established and effective rules that all of us have been asked to maintain and live by. So that's my, I think we did, I did send this to everybody.
You did, Pat. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. I'd like to ask Dr. Lassiter, while we've got this question in there, if you would talk about the question, especially the one on the taxes, I think. Pat, let me say on the traffic situation, and for everybody to know, and we just keep remembering this, this is for one building. That's all we're talking about right now. Nobody knows what the future is. If there's another building applied for, then it would have to come back to City Council. It's a new ball game. We'll look at what it is then and what the traffic is then. We hope there'll be improvements by then on both ends of that road. All the way through Silver Bluff. You know the improvements that are planned, Pat, and on Silver Bluff. And also you know about the ones that are planned on Daugherty, Pine Log and Daugherty.
Right.
So those two things that we feel are going to help the traffic. That right-hand turn lane going into Daugherty.
Is there some reason why that the plan doesn't call for what is going to be done in the future? I mean, it shows one building.
Well, we're not talking about the future. We're talking about 7.5 acres. I'm just stating the facts as I see them.
I understand.
My personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 7.5 acres, one building. And you know the specs and you know the conditions that we have here.
I understand. I also said that I understand that this has already been approved, which does affect what y'all have to do. But anyway,
had it been the other one, the first one, it would be 3,800 trips. This is 600 and some trips. according to the numbers that I'm reading.
I'm sitting here smiling because I'm reflecting back on the past, and we've had wonderful growth, enjoyed wonderful growth on the south side, with some objections. And as Woodside growth, we were faced with the same questions you're asking in terms of what is next, what is expected. We don't have a plan. We can't see it. As Anderson, the issues with Anderson Pond, how much are they paying? Are they paying for growth? So the same questions you're asking, we face the same thing. And I know we're not talking about Woodside and its growth, but we face the same questions in terms of, and don't know how it's going to come out with University Hospital, but right now we're dealing with one issue, one building.
I understand.
Pat, one other thing on the green space. Obviously, with one building, you've got a lot of green space there. And even with the other plan, the other arrangement, it was about 53% green space, even when you had the apartments and the buildings and what have you. That's what our facts show us on our written material here. But the one thing I tend to recall, and I'm not sure I'm accurate on it, but I think I am, you have developed a beautiful place out there on your addition with all that green space. And if I recall, you offered that to us, more or less. We wanted, of course, what I guess that required was something like maybe 25% or something.
Right.
And you offered that up because that would be an amenity for people to come out there. All that green space is beautiful. And so it's not like, I don't think it's like we required that. I noticed
Mayor,
the word required.
I didn't offer it up. I was sitting right there when...
I know I you were. Right you were there. Sitting right there.
Yeah.
But the word required bothered me a little bit.
Well, we'll probably be
Am
back.
Am I wrong?
We'll probably be back then if this... I'm just
okay, yeah, you probably will be.
Is that true of the setback as well?
Ma'am?
Is that true of the setback requirement as well? Was that your choice?
Yes. This was... It's hard for me to, you know, talk about what was or what wasn't. But I remember one thing, and sitting in that chair right there, you couldn't get in this room from the standpoint of the what the conflicts that developed about it. I know there was a lot more discussion about traffic and setbacks, green space, and whatever. I know what you're saying, Mr. Mayor, but it was, you know, from sitting in that seat, I know that the developer at that time had to do the things that we're talking about. I'm just talking about in the reality of the situation. 69% green space isn't excessive. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that in this site, I think that having more than normal green space is all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that it should be 69%. All I'm saying is that there should be additional green space with this 7-acre tract, because to be honest with you, it's probably one of the last large tracts. We may have one at 3 to 4 acres, but this is probably going to be the last large tract on Silver Bluff.
Right, and I don't disagree with you at all, but again, we're talking about one building right now, and there's adequate, plenty of green space.
Yeah, the main reason, and I was here the 2 weeks ago, and really wasn't planning to speak, the tax issue is the one that really got me. I really believe that the competitive side of it with the land, because I'm being taxed at, you know, all of our land is being taxed as far as the future development and whatever. So that's really, really one of the big issues. But the other two issues are important as well. And now's the time to figure it out. I mean, there's no question. This would be a different discussion if it was for 70,000 square feet. The only thing I'm saying is should we at least know what a future land plan would be for this? And if it's going to stay green space, I really don't have an issue. There can't be an issue with 17,000 square feet on 7 acres. Beautiful site, got beautiful, and they're saving most of the trees. When I looked at it myself, so that's not the issue. But this is an issue of fairness when it comes to taxes and the rest of it that I'm concerned about.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. If I can address the tax issue briefly.
Certainly.
As you know, state law mandates what property is taxable, what property is not taxable, what property is exempt from real property tax. We know church properties are exempt from public taxation. I was confirming with Mr. LaDuke, the public housing projects or in a public housing project looks just like an apartment complex, a commercial venture, and we know those are exempt from taxation. And so the city doesn't have the ability to say, yes, you can develop this property, but only if you agree to pay the taxes that would have been on this property had this property been developed commercially. If University Hospital doesn't develop this property, it would remain a blank piece of property owned by a 501c3 corporation. They don't owe any taxes on it because they're exempt under our state laws. And so for us to say we're going to tax a portion of the property other than the portion of the property that's being developed, I don't think we can do that. And it's really not the city's job. It's the Aiken County tax assessor's job. They're going to tell us what property is going to be taxed, and they're going to tell us what they're assessing that property for, and they're going to tell us how the taxes would be collected, and the city will then add its city tax to the portion of the property being taxed by the county. So that's really not a determination for city council to make.
So how, indeed, though, it's not our determination, I mean, why can the buildings be taxed then, or can they not? I mean, if the University Hospital, a tax-exempt organization, builds medical office buildings on a piece of property and leases them, why are those buildings going to be taxable? No.
They're not really building them. And I think Dr. Lassiter can address that. You addressed that in the last meeting, I think. Would you do that? Would you make that?
And that's why we have item number 7. Condition number 7 addresses that.
Right.
I
believe, and Dr. Lasher may correct me because he's experienced this more, but I believe they could build an office building that just houses university health, the 501c3 administrators and that sort of thing, where they don't offer services and they don't lease space to doctors and that sort of thing. I believe that building would probably be tax exempt, would it not?
If it were a hospital building, it probably would be tax exempt. On our other properties where we have developed medical office buildings, the buildings there have been taxable, and we do pay taxes on them. And I think the direct answer to the question is that the platted area that will be approved as part of Condition 7 in this approval would direct and define the taxable portion of the property, to land, buildings, everything in that plat. Those lands outside the plat would remain under the state law exempt, as council has pointed out. Also, we have brought a full plan to the council and to the Planning Commission describing what potential future uses could be, and wiser heads have asked us to scale it back so that we can do it a piece at a time. So the density question that Mr. Cunning refers to is an important one, and one which we would be asked to address with you should we go to later phases of development.
And to add to that, at our previous meeting, what was discussed, Pat, was that if there are future projects, and if this is approved, University Hospital will have to come to us again to make this request. This is not carte blanche in terms of approving everything. Everything would have to come before council.
Sir? Yeah, Pat, come on back and ask a question.
Can you do it at the microphone?
Will they take the fair market value of the platted, and then that will be, is it going to be a land lease? Or how do they value it? Are they going to value it at the full market value of the land sitting on? Is that correct? But what I don't understand is you're going to own it, you're going to do a land lease, and Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, the land lease, how is that? It all depends on what the dollar amount of it is. All I'm telling you is what concerns me. And I'll be honest with you. I work for a gentleman from Connecticut. And he said, listen, we've got an area up there that, you know, we're going to build a wellness center. We are. It's in our plan. What if I said after this, I said, well, I'm just going to go to the Red Cross. Donate my land to the Red Cross, and I'll do a land lease for a dollar a year or whatever. And then I'll just build a wellness center on it, but that will be pulled out of my land plan. All I'm saying is we got to be real careful with this. I don't think we've ever done this before, where we have you're leasing space to doctors, right? And they're going to, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a fair market rent, but whatever the land value is, I'm sitting out there now. We're talking about $200,000 to $300,000 an acre land. Depending on what the market value of it is, that depends on what you can lease it for. So that was my main reason for coming here, because when it was explained 2 weeks ago, I wasn't sure about the fair market value of the land at $300,000 an acre, actually more than that if you actually say when it's improved. You're talking about $300,000 to $400,000 per site at 6% times a millage of 300.9. That's a lot of money. So I'm glad that that's the case, but I think we need to be careful on that area about when you do a land lease, is that a fair market value?
The best example I know to give you, Pat, is the URS building and when it was developed and how the Aiken Corporation went through that process when they got their legal counsel to look at it. I believe their legal counsel helped them understand that a 501c3 corporation could not own that building and accept lease payments from URS Washington Group at the time. And if they did that, it could have a detrimental effect on their 501c3 status. And so that's why the Aiken Corporation decided to own that building in the name of LED of Aiken Inc.
That pays federal taxes and taxes for everything.
Right. Right. That's. I believe Dr. Lasher would tell you that if he were to lease this building to the commercial developer that's going to be developing this property and accepted lease payments from that developer for that property, his 501c3 status would be in jeopardy. And that's why he's doing it the way he's doing it, to let the commercial developer build it the way they are.
But I'm a developer, and I'm here because I'm trying to protect my interests. And, you know, I understand the hospital's concern about why he's going on this site. You know, you want to go between where his customers are, maybe you should go closer to North Augusta. I know why he's going to this site, because I got 1,800 rooftops going to another 1,200 rooftops of people that pay for it. They pay insurance, and they're high-paid people, and that's why everybody's looking on the south side. You know, I know that. I understand that. But the part that gets me is that I'm out there at the village with all my land being taxed, everything. You know, he's going to develop his 1.5 acres for the $17,000. The rest of the land, he's not going to be paying taxes on. You're just going to make that up. Me and you.
But that's a state law issue that city council doesn't have the ability to control.
To be honest with you,
I mean, if he decided to sell the rest of the property to a church and let them develop a church there, that property wouldn't be taxed either.
If he wants to build a church there, fine. Then he'd have traffic on Sunday. But I'm just here as a fairness issue. I don't quite understand, to be honest with you. I really don't. I think it should be taxed. And you mean you can't put that requirement on that as a requirement of this approval that he pay taxes on the land?
We don't have the ability to tell them to change what the state law tells University Hospital or whoever owns this property what exemptions they're entitled to. When they bought this property, the state law gave them that exemption. If we were to take that away from them, all he's going to do is sue the city of Aiken, and a judge is going to tell us we can't do what you're suggesting we try to do. And that's very clear. I mean, we can't override state law. We are a servant of the state. We're an entity of the state. We have to do what the state tells us to do when it comes to tax and property.
I, for all of what I don't understand, I mean, Doc, completely, is that you want to support this community, but you want to take 5.5 acres, value at $300,000 land, and not pay taxes. I don't understand.
He's not going to pay tax on it right now. If the property wasn't developed at all, he wouldn't pay any tax on it.
You already applied for it. Have you been approved?
I don't know what the status is.
So if it hadn't been approved, you're still paying taxes on it right now. Is that right?
Well, Mr. Mayor, Council, we obviously intend to abide by any and all tax laws that apply to the property and the development. And I understand Mr. Cunning's question and concern, but again, this is an issue of state law.
Okay, I'd like to go over another thing that we've talked about before, but just to get it clear in my mind. When we approved the other project, we said that they needed to have a lane developed that people could get off of the road before the access. And as I understand it, the State Department of Transportation said there was not enough space on the frontage in order to do that? Is that correct?
No. We could have taken down the trees. But Roger, you know you
The highway department turned down that request and said no.
There wasn't a need for it, number one.
What? Well, I mean, all right. Number
With 600
one,
trips? So that's 300 in, 300
okay.
out?
No,
I'm talking about when we did it before and we were going to require that extra lane, and then that, there was a statement that was made in what the material I received back that said the State Highway Department, I thought what it was said was that they determined there was not adequate space.
It was subject to the approval of the Highway Department, and the Highway Department turned it down.
Did they get, and they gave us reasons, did they not?
I'd have to look back in the minutes from that earlier.
I thought one of the reasons was there was not enough room to get the kind of
that's what I think.
Well, barely remembers that as well.
Part of it was there was not enough adequate room to put in a deceleration lane mm-hmm. on their land, to put in the taper and then the storage that would be necessary. And so you'd have to go to an adjoining land to go ahead and do that.
Well, that said, then...
Well, I think that's what Jane is saying.
One thing that concerns me, then, is if this building is built right up to the road, like this plan shows, and the trees are... I don't remember all those trees being there, but maybe they... I think they're going to be planted, aren't they? I don't remember. One, two, three, four... Well, anyway, I'll have to go look at it again. But if this building is approved at this location... And then they come back and they want to build. They're going to, of course, want to build additional buildings, hopefully not 72,000 square feet. That's my opinion. But then if we do determine at that point that a deceleration lane is needed, there's no place to put it because the building's right up on the road.
Are we talking about current projects or future projects?
I'm talking about future projects here, and it's what it's the issue Mr. Cunning brought up, which is what's going to happen in the future when more development comes here, which it is. I mean, it just is. And is this the time? I don't know exactly how I feel about it, but he brought it up, and it makes me think. Is this the time when we need to say maybe the building should sit 30 feet further back and there should be park or something else so that if we ever do need the type of deceleration lane we're talking about, it can be built? Or do we want to approve a design that means that one can never be built? Or do we just not want to worry about it now?
Well, I need point of concern by our attorney. Is it proper to make a request on a future project when we don't know what the future...
I mean, certainly council can discuss any concerns that you may have about this property. I mean, you can certainly
right.
do that. You have to bear in mind
that
you've got an application before you that says this is how we want to develop the property now. And that's the application that's before council, but certainly you're free to discuss.
But future restrictions on property that's not been developed, we can do that.
You can discuss that. The developer may tell you they're not interested in satisfying those conditions.
Okay. My previous question, though, was that if the state's already said that there's not enough space there, as I remember their saying, but maybe I'm, and Beverly, you remember something about that too, then it's a moot point. If there's not enough space for it, then we can't have it anyway, so let's not waste time talking about it.
I just want to caution council not to get wrapped up with the 610 trips per day this project is. Before this project even starts, we're at near capacity on Silver Bluff Road. And that's clear in Roger Dyer's comment on paragraph 4.
Not at that spot, we're not. It's a level C service.
It always concerns me that it's not at that spot, but when the cars get to that spot, they're coming from somewhere else.
Well, we've talked about this before. We're taking into consideration the two projects that we have coming. Right now, this is not determined to add anything hardly at all to the conditions we have. These are the facts in my way of thinking. This is what we're talking about. We've got projects that should start by the end of the year on Doherty Road, another lane over there for those cars going right. That's going to help move the traffic a little bit faster and get them out of there. We've got the projects down Silver Bluff Road at Woodside, the intersection project. We're very likely, once the traffic analysis is made after we get all this done at Town Creek, I don't see there's any way in this world why DOT will not have enough information to put a traffic signal there. In the meantime, there are other ways to get around. People don't have to go to Town Creek and turn left. A lot of them don't do that now. They got to Pine Log Road. But there are a few conditions that apply to this whole vision thing that we're talking about, as far as I'm concerned.
But it still remains clear that at Silver Bluff,
yeah,
with the traffic analysis that we have right now, we're at near capacity, and we need to consider more than just given construction projects. As Mr. Cunning said, although with our current economic situation, he's not building and selling as many as he'd like to, but there are houses and developments that are going on towards the Richardson's Lake area and south that are going to impact on that traffic. So I'm just not sure we ought to consider this project just simply based on 610 and say, well, 610 is not a real big problem. We can live with that and assume it's going to be okay. We're still facing LOS E and F by 2015.
So well, and it's peak times, too. I want the audience to understand we're not talking about all day long. We're talking maybe three times a day, peak times, and how long does it last? You know, when we talk traffic in Aiken, to some people, it's a laughable matter. You talk peak times. How long does it take you to get through a peak time at these places? Are our citizens and us supposed to expect to be able to keep going and not have to stop, not have to wait for a light or two every once in a while? There's not enough money to make that kind of a traffic pattern anywhere, Washington Road or anywhere else. So I think we need to just adjust that thinking, just to make sure what we're talking about. It's not all day long when you talk about level service F or E or whatever you're talking about.
We can get into it as we go along, but the paragraph says the annual average daily traffic, AADT, not hourly, not 2 or 3 hours in the morning, 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon, which I agree will be peak traffic, which will be at its worst.
Right.
But we have a road that's near capacity. And I just think that we ought to be very, very cautious. We know what's going on here. We're going to have the one project, and we know they're coming back for the other two that, in all fairness, we ought not to consider tonight.
Okay.
But I just want a red flag that traffic is a major issue.
What are you suggesting, Dick? Do you have a suggestion?
I wish I had a suggestion. I really wish. All I have is a problem. I don't have a solution for it. But I have a problem. And I think the traffic engineers ought to be able to come up with a solution.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to clarify. Todd Salvagan, SRS Engineering, West Columbia. Madam Councilwoman, I'd like to address the right turn issue that you had. Under prior submittals, there was a recommendation for a right turn lane. Under prior submittals, yes, there is insufficient distance to meet the DOT requirements for a taper and a full lane between the site driveway and the adjacent property line. Okay. In combination, that would say either build something that's slightly smaller or forgive the right turn lane. With the project shrinking in trip generation, the right turn lane has indeed no longer warranted. Not necessarily saying that it might be warranted at some point in the future. If indeed in the future it becomes warranted, that issue would have to be addressed at some point, and the solution may be it meets warrants, it's well above warrants, we have to put it in. It may be a slightly shorter deceleration lane. And or they may have to go seek an easement permission to go across the perpendicular tangent line of the adjacent boundary owner to the south. In other words, he would be affected by a small triangle across this frontage.
There's one more possibility, too, I think, and that is that the buildings that would be proposed would be much smaller therefore have less traffic
in and out. If it is not warranted, then
right.
Once again, it would be forgiven at that point.
Right.
It's got to meet a certain criteria.
Absolutely.
How wide does a deceleration, how wide is that?
Typical lane width is 12.
12, that's right.
It will go down to 11, and it all depends upon a formula, 11 versus 12, depending upon the taper length.
And what's the... Do we know the setback between the property line on Silver Bluff and the building?
And it was very hard to tell, but it looked like, what, about 30 feet? But you know for sure. Mm-hmm. About 30 feet from the right-of-way line to the building?
More than 20, that's for sure. It looks like.
So that if there did need to be a deceleration lane in the future, there would be adequate width there in order to do it. Whether there's length, we don't know. But thank you. I did think I remembered that somewhere.
You were correct.
Okay.
To answer Mr. Dover's question, in the future, as Mr. Roger Dyer looks at the intersection of Silver Bluff and Doherty, and specifically, it's a segment. We break Silver Bluff into segments. One of the segments is between Pine Log and Doherty. It's a very small section between those two signalized intersections. That is indeed at capacity. The section south of it is not at capacity as a level service seat. In the future, when the right turn lane goes in, there may be, if working with the city traffic engineer, along with the city in the master planning effort, the capacity will likely increase because of the right turn lane. I think we can all agree upon that. They may justify that, and you may no longer have a constraint at that point in the future once that goes in. It all depends upon whether or not the city agrees that a right turn lane adds capacity to a link. It definitely adds to a intersection. But if it adds to a link or segment, they may raise it to 40,000 trips a day, which is a small increase from the 35 that is now, or whatever, as an example. And then you may find out that it no longer is. That's simply comparing volume to capacity.
You're making it sound sort of a casual decision. Is there a technical basis on which the decision will be made about the benefits of the right turn lane?
Yes.
At Doherty?
Yes.
So where you just said the traffic engineer, which we don't have, but I guess that would be Roger Dyer, who works with us, he would have some technical...
basis.
Educated basis using standard traffic analysis techniques and so forth. Could you estimate or give us a guess, and I'll use that word a little liberally to give you a lot of slack. Could you give us a guess as to what you think?
I'll give you the standard lane group capacity for a single through lane is 2,000. You're adding a right turn lane. Obviously, it's not going to be as great as 2,000. Let's say that it's a quarter, and I'm going to talk totally in square numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it adds 500, but it's only added in one direction, so it might add 250 or 300 because it's a right turn lane. So they may take, and I'll take you to Roger's table on page 3, excuse me, on the memorandum that I had written to Roger. Which is on page 1 of the March 24th. I think that's the level service F that you're talking about.
What page is that?
144 of 216.
Okay.
Specifically, I'm looking at the table under comment number 1, and that's response. The comment is relatively small, but that Silver Bluff Road between Doherty and Pine Log, it has an ART plan, which is your local regional transportation system, of 32,500 vehicles per day. If you go across, currently today, you have 30,750. You see that column, sir?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which has a volume to capacity of 0.095 IE and E currently. Then 2015 no build, jumps up to approximately $33,000. And then the 2015 build jumps up to $33,400 approximately. If the ART plan capacity, because of the additional right turn lane, brings that up to, let's say, add 500 to 33,000, you'd then be comparing 33,000 to 33,000, i.e., a level service E, and then 33,000 to 33,400, and a 1.01, possibly level service E slash F. You're adding physically to the roadway, i.e., you know you're adding some sort of capacity. But the determination of that capacity, while it is being added, the exact number being added would have to follow the Aiken regional guidelines and the city guidelines, of which I don't have control of.
Understand, but from your field of expertise, what should a community do with a road that's near saturation and individuals that want to build projects on that road, whether they're commercial or residential? What should a community do? Do we just ignore it and let each of the individual projects go to the point that we're at LOSF?
You have to fix the problem. You have two choices, theoretically. One, add capacity, which you are doing. Add more capacity than you're adding, i.e. through lanes. Second would be to implement some type of transportation demand system. We talked about that on Friday on the phone, i.e. where trips are either lowered, the mixed-use type facilities, where people can work, live, recreate, and shop in the same neighborhood. Therefore, they don't have to go out, back in, back out, on in to a driveway. These are all long-term type looksies and a specific planning method. Your plan does encourage such things, mixed use. Woodside is mixed use in that regards. So these are the type of long-range things that you look at. You know, at a point, saturation is saturation. It is what it is. And there's, you add in what you can, turning lanes, signal enhancement, phasing enhancements, progression to signals. You add in these, which give you just, it's like Band-Aids on top, but you're adding little pieces at a time, and in hopes to get as much out of the infrastructure that you have, so to make your current infrastructure as efficient as possible.
There are plans which you may be aware of to eventually revamp Silver Bluff further towards Woodside, adding turning lanes at strategic locations and so forth.
Correct.
In your judgment, would that add capacity to the road if those things were done?
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Before you leave, and maybe you answered this, maybe you didn't. I didn't hear you answer it.
Sir.
There's going to be a right turn lane added on Silver Bluff Road to Doherty.
Yes.
When I look on that table that you just stated, which says there's a capacity currently of 32,500, by adding that right turn lane, how much more additional capacity will there be on that road?
It may add a little bit depending upon how the ART plan is viewed and working with the master plan. An estimate, it may add 300 to 500 on that capacity because it's adding a lane, but it's adding a right turn lane rather than a through lane. And that all depends upon, I mean, you know how it's figured, I'm sure. Roger does. The ART plan looks at the roadway capacity as a cross-section of the road. Number of through lanes in each direction, number of access points, turning lanes, no turning lanes. Are there left turns that occur from through lanes? Are there right turns that occur from through lanes? All of these are part of the mix, and then a capacity is developed for that segment. In this case, you're adding something to it that's going to add a capacity. While it doesn't become a six lane, for instance, or a multitude of 1,000 added, it should add something small if it goes back and looks at it. This capacity accounts directly from the ART plan, but if you look at the following table on page 146 of 216, that specifically is Silver Bluff at Doherty during the peak hours, and that includes the right turn lane. And you can see there under 2015 build, that intersection operates very well. And that is part and parcel due to the addition of the right turn lane. It obviously improves. In fact, it makes that statement that it improves the overall operations of that intersection. But there is a difference between intersection and lane segment or roadway segment or link, as we refer to it in the profession.
Have you considered at all in all of your figures and all of your plans that that you have a major industry going out that way and people have to travel back and forth to work and that they may be increasing their workforce? Have you looked at that at all and determined that this is going to stay pretty much like it is now?
These are projections to 2015 based on input from city staff. It's the best crystal balling that we can do at this time. I mean, it's what they've provided to us to use in this case, and it's based on land use projections, land use growth, growth in other areas, regional growth, specific growth in areas, you know, directly in the immediate vicinity. It's not an exact science, but it's something that we can attempt to do and provide as a basis, and that's what this is, for looking at that future. Did I answer your question? As best as we can say, prognostication, yes.
I would think about it if I had to do a study and I had to make a determination as to what it's going to be. I would factor in everything I knew at the time. And maybe 6 months ago you didn't know this, maybe 3 months ago you didn't know this, but you certainly know it now, and if you didn't know it before tonight, you do. But I just think it's something that needs to be considered, that all of the people who go to work toward New Wellington will not be living past this and in Woodside. It's going to be people coming from other areas who will have to drive in that direction, and I think it's something you need to consider when you look at these this level of service as you project for the next 6 years.
And the study does indeed project. In this case, I'm going to quickly find it here, but in this case we use an annual growth rate. In this project, and I think we talked about this last time, we use an annual growth rate of 1% per year up to 2015. So we increase traffic by about 16%, 17% from its current levels today. So that's a pretty good increase to go from there, from this point to that point in looking at it. And these were all done in concurrency with, once again, city staff.
Thank you.
Can I ask one more question on that?
Sure.
Page 146, as you spoke about.
146, yeah.
146 of 216, the Silver Bluff Road and Doherty Road, and you're talking about the numbers after we make the new right turn lane. Your analysis, it says, is based on 120-second cycle length.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's 2 minutes. I always thought 90 seconds was as much patience as many drivers would have, but 2 minutes. Where will that mean that the southbound traffic on Silver Bluff is going to wait for 2 minutes?
No, sir.
Who's waiting for 2 minutes?
Nobody.
Nobody.
The overall cycle length, just like it is of the moon rising and setting, it goes an entire cycle.
That's the entire cycle of 120 seconds.
So 2 minutes. So within that 2 minutes, southbound is served, northbound is served, eastbound and westbound, it hits the 120 and starts the sequence over again. So nobody waits 2 minutes. If you go through, for instance, you specifically asked about southbound, under the AM peak hour, southbound on an average delay is about 8 seconds. During the PM, it's about 18 seconds. So you can see from the approach, and that's something, once again, the city ordinance called out for, is to break the intersection up into each approach. Westbound, which is coming out of Doherty, during the AM is about 48 seconds. During both the AM and 47 during the PM. So there's about, well, there's 0.5 of a minute right there. That has an average delay.
And most signals are set for 120 seconds?
All depends. When you look out into the future, they tend to try to lean towards 120. If I recall today, you have a, I'm thinking you have a 90 now, if I recall. but when you go out into the future, it's not uncommon to lengthen them. The longer a cycle length, meaning more traffic you have, and I've seen them as high as 240/360s.
Okay, thank you.
Can you address the current zoning of the property with it being commercial use and retail space, and what that would bring if it's left with commercial and retail versus this space, whether that's going to create greater problems for us, or where are we?
I did the first report for Mr. Brody. That site, which was commercial, currently proposed was about 24,000 square feet of retail, 31,000 square feet of office, a 5,000 square foot restaurant, total of approximately 60,000 were proposed under that submittal. It generated 3,050 daily trips. This site generates 610 daily trips, or approximately a fifth of what the prior commercial development had proposed.
Okay, thank you.
What's interesting, I think at some point in time when people get upset about having to wait, they start looking around, is there another way to get there, where I want to go?
Are there diversions?
Absolutely. You know, there are ways you can circle around Whiskey Road, don't even have to go, and still going south. You don't even have to go down Whiskey Road. There are usually ways that you can go other ways. Mm-hmm. I know people live in Lakeside. Instead of coming out of Town Creek and coming up there and turning left or right, they're going up to Pine Log and wherever they're going that way. They won't go up there and turn left to go through that busy intersection. Many of them will just go straight down Lakeside Drive up to Pine Log Road and other ways. So, I think that's certainly something that I know I look for different ways to go places if indeed I get upset about something.
And the same as you have in some of your master plan plans,
yeah.
The connectors, etc., which provide an alternative to go from point A to point B or region A to region B.
You know, there were a number of years out there when the population went up, when Westinghouse came up to close to 25,000 people, and then it went down. To where it is now, probably 12, 11, something like that, total 11. People. And so I do think these projects are going to help us, certainly, no doubt about it. Okay. Any other questions to Todd? Okay. All right, let's see. Thank you very much. Who else would like to speak? Coming on around and then down. Over on this side. Anyone? Yes, sir.
I know you're tired of seeing me.
No.
never, Penn.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my Monday nights for an hour.
Well, we'll think of something for you.
My name is Patrick Tolton. I live at 2075 Graymere Hollow Road and have been in Aiken for the last 36 years. It's interesting to note, and I've been led to believe that the idea of a larger hospital coming in and consuming a smaller hospital's cream of the crop patients is something that I should not be concerned about, but I hope you'd read yesterday's paper and the article by Thornton Kirby, who happens to be the CEO of the South Carolina Hospital Association, and I'm in really good company. So if you'd read that, I think it would be a real good thing for all of you to have information about when considering this project. Tonight, I just wanted to go ahead and talk about unintended consequences. Now, I've been here for a long, long time. When I got here, Hitchcock Plaza was a cotton field. So we've always had planning, we've always had oversight by a governing body, and how do you like it so far on the south side? What I'm saying tonight is, what is planning about? We're sitting here and we're saying we're planning. I think we're reacting, and we've been reacting ever since I've been here. But I'll go to the focus of our discussion this evening. This is a document which was done by our planning commission, and what it is, it's public safety collected basic accident and injury data within the city limits for the last 4 years. It's analyzed in a variety of ways. Most frequently included is highest average annual accident rate, worst accident to injury ratio, and the intersections are ranked sequentially. Based on those features, continued inclusion in the top 10's worst intersection, the number one worst intersection is Whiskey Road and East Pine Log. The number two worst intersection is Silver Bluff Road and Hitchcock Parkway. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when you're going back and forth from Daugherty and all around, it's pretty hard to avoid Silver Bluff Road and Hitchcock Parkway. So basically, if we don't care about injury, accident rates, and we are not going to plan ahead for traffic, then I don't know what in the world we need a planning commission for. So I'm just here tonight to say that also we have a solution to your problem. Stay with the original concept plan. Look at things being proactive instead of reactive. And that's really all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
Pat, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to, because to me it's factual. Roads, intersections don't cause accidents. People cause accidents. So maybe we need a really good training program for people who learn to drive and are driving. And, of course, public safety is trying to do all they can to give out the tickets when they see somebody wrong. But the first thing people think of when you have traffic is, golly, we got to do something with that road. We got to expand it. We got to do something. It's people that cause problems. Now, roads can cause some problems, I'm sure. They get bumpy and whatever. But that's my view on that. I've been driving Aiken since 1953 when I moved here. And I've never had an accident, never had a ticket, and I'm very patient. I was driving out to the site when there were 25,000 people out there going down first Whiskey Road. Sometimes Whiskey Road was easier to get than going the other way, the back way. I say all this not to say that we don't want to do something about the roads, but I think overall we need more patience, not only in Aiken, but all over the place. People need to be more patient. While they're sitting at the light, they need to think about the blessings that they have in Aiken or Augusta or wherever they happen to be, instead of fussing about somebody else fixing a road or something. That's my really, really, really wise wisdom on that. Okay, who else would like to speak? No one else? Okay. It's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, you and I both sit on the Arts Committee, and we've been dealing with traffic in Aiken for a pretty good while.
We always will.
Yes, and we always will. And I remember telling you once that, especially after 1999, that if you wanted to avoid traffic, you end up with a place like Allendale. No disrespect to Allendale, but it's not a whole lot going on there, and they don't have a whole lot of traffic. But as long as you have growth, maybe traffic is a good sign. But I do want to say that that while traffic is a problem on Silver Bluff Road, I am concerned about phase two or phase three of this project. And it might be 5 years or so before they come back to us. It might be 3 years. I don't know what that time frame is. But if it's 2015 and I'm no longer here, then that's a problem for someone in the future to deal with. But I just want to have all of you understand that we really do need to plan for what's going to happen, because we are spending money on Silver Bluff Road right now to get it to where it would be palatable for most of the people who live that way. And so we are working on trying to alleviate some of the problems on Silver Bluff. But I'm going to ask you to think about Phase 2 and Phase 3 and see if that's really what you want over there as far as adding more traffic. I don't know that sometimes I think every time we fix a road, more businesses come on the good road we fix and causes more traffic, and then we have to fix it again. And so I want y'all to think about that when we look at this, because we could be putting ourselves in that predicament. I know I voted for this on first reading, and really want to think about it tonight as we deliberate and just before we vote, because it does concern me what's going to happen when Phase 2 and Phase 3 come along. It looks pretty bad right now, but I do need to think about it another few minutes.
I have a question on green space, and I honestly don't know the answer to. Perhaps the city manager, the planning director, can help me. When we approved the original concept plan in 2006, was there then a requirement for green space?
The requirement for green space is, I believe, at 20%.
25%.
It was 20%, now it's 25%.
Okay, so if this project is approved,
they'll have to have 25%.
25% of
minimal.
Of the 7 acres.
That's correct.
Minimal. I mean, that
could be 30% if they want to, or 40%, but it has to have at least 25.
We can make it anything we want, actually.
Is it their choice or the city's choice?
The concept plan, the city has a choice of requiring anything you want to within that concept plan.
Okay, and once that decision is, and I don't know that that's part of the decision tonight, we're just approving the concept plan, but we're not getting down to the specific green space requirement, or is that part of this?
Right now, it's pretty high.
Right now, they probably have about 60 or 70% green space because they're only asking for approval on one section.
Yeah. Okay, so the green space isn't firm. I guess what I'm getting at is clearly they're in asking for one building. So one building is going to make green space look absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to come in for another building, probably. And now that green space number that we looked at for the first building is going to disappear, and it's going to be a different number, probably less. Because
we're not setting any green space number for the first building. It's the only building there. So when
okay.
another one comes in, if it does, then we can determine what we want to do.
And we're not
you
setting.
You want to determine it now?
Well, I'm just asking the question. I don't know the answer, but I'm confused with the green space.
You certainly could go ahead and make as a condition that the overall plan would have no less than 30%, 35%, or 40%. And then if they came in, they could always ask for an adjustment. Right now, Mr. Cunning could come in with the village at Woodside and ask that there be a concept plan change and ask that it be reduced from the 69% to something lower. And again, council would have to make a decision whether or not they would want to abide by that.
Okay, but as this package sits before us for second reading, we just assume that what's not being built on is green space.
Right.
And that becomes the number.
And right now you have to assume that they're not coming back, even though they're showing that they may want to come back.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, thank you. That's all I want.
Well, it's a new ball game if they come back. They understand that. We understand that. It's a new ball game.
That actually raises a question, and it goes back to my original question. And I think that the condition 7 satisfied that in that there was going to be a plat drawn, and you would that would be part of. I had assumed that plat would include at least the minimum 25% green space within mm-hmm. that plat. So I think the question is really moot. I think that the plat does have to meet the green space requirement. That's what we're approving. Is that correct? The site plan includes at least 25% green space.
Yes, Tom Dennett's 3100 Northwoods Place, Norcross, Georgia. Obviously, the plat has yet to be drawn, but clearly it will be drawn to the specifications of the city ordinance.
Which would be that at least 25% green space for this, and that would then all be taxable property, if I...
Correct.
So we have a city ordinance that says 25% is the norm.
The minimum.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Are you going to do just the minimum on the first part of the property?
Well, again, that's up to city council. Dick, you raised a good point.
And what are your plans now? Is it just 25%?
It could be 25. It could be anything that we want it to be.
I mean, again, our original submittal with the master plan of the facility showed the intent for the property, but in its phases. So there is, you know, again, no intent to do anything different than what has been previously shown. How that plat is ultimately drawn, you know, that is for a surveyor to do, and
it's subject to planning commission approval.
Yeah, and I presume, you know, all of the conditions of your normal site plan review process will ferret out any other details that need to be included there.
I did not understand that. I had thought that when the 72,000 square, I guess I'm just naive, when the 72,000 square feet was turned down, that maybe you all heard us a little bit about the density of that project, and when you came back with this, I had it in my mind that there was some sensitivity to that.
There is a sensitivity to that, and the I guess the message was that the first phase building of 17,000 feet, we think we have the demand for. None of us knows what the future holds, what the demand will be, what the traffic system will bear in terms of capacity. So as that future demand surfaces and capacity of traffic allows for, we would come back with future submittals. My point, Councilwoman, is that there is no intent to do more than what was shown on that plan. And obviously, if market conditions, you know, bear out, it would be less intense than that.
I just want to make it very clear that I don't see that as a plan that we've accepted as your ultimate goal.
You clearly have not accepted that plan.
Okay.
We understand that we get this first phase and future phases. Yeah. Will have to be approved and brought before this council.
And they're standalone. Okay.
That is correct.
They stand alone.
They stand alone.
Each individual request.
Right. We could have 25 feet here, and we could have 50 feet the next
right.
time if
That's
something
right.
comes out.
Again,
there's no reason.
What conditions are
to,
put on future phases will obviously
right.
be debated and,
right.
and agreed to before built.
Right.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Not to placate those folks who are represented here from the Aiken Regional Medical Center, but just want to say that we've seen a hospital come in and provide just wonderful service. People are extremely satisfied with the care and service that Aiken Regional Medical Center provides. It is top-notch physicians who care about their patients. I know many of them, nurses, professionals in every way. We have a request from University Hospital to build a medical complex, doctor's offices. I could sit here and think of many reasons why I should vote this down. One is because I love Aiken Regional Medical Center. This is home to me. My family visits there. They receive care there. They receive care from the doctors here. So Aiken Regional has been loyal to this community. I could say that this is going to create more traffic problems. There are all kinds of reasons based on the phone calls I've received and a number of other things. It all boils down to what I have right here in front of me as a result of research and folks who are a lot smarter than me that have done surveys. What stays with me is the fact that this was planned, this is currently zoned, as commercial retail space, one, right now, which 60,000 square feet can go into the area right now. This current request is for 17,000 square feet, this one request. Now, I could say, I'm going to sit here and I need to take about 70,000 versus 17,000. But in fairness to the request, I am only looking at what is in front of me now. And if future request comes in, then I will have to deal with, I'm going to use the term deal with, University Hospital at that time. Because at that time, I will say, right now you're telling me, you told me that this was what the traffic study reports, you're asking for additional space. I don't know whether that traffic load will handle the roads in that area. Based on those facts that I am looking at, I will support University Hospital and its request for this one building, period.
Thank you, Leslie. Any other comments?
I'd like to make a brief comment. I don't think we have the right, as members of City Council, I agree with Mrs. Price, to tell a legitimate business that they may not build a 17,000 square foot structure on this lot. If we do need a deceleration lane, there's room for it in the future. I appreciate the architect clarifying the fact that anything that comes up in the future will be considered individually by the council. I do appreciate that. And I can't resist making this comment. We moved here 35 years ago, and one of the reasons was that there were three hospitals at that time, University, St. Joseph, and Aiken County. People in Aiken like choices. On the other hand, doctors in Augusta, I just want to see doctors in Augusta and Aiken work together. Mm-hmm. We have worked together. Anybody that says that hasn't happened, hasn't lived here, hasn't practiced here. And I hope that continues. I'm afraid that to stay solvent, the business of medicine has become all about competition for expensive procedures. That makes me sad. I wish there were another way to handle it. And I just think that if our physicians and the leadership of these medical communities will keep in mind that we really must work together, and especially in these hard economic times, that we'll continue to have the kind of really wonderful choices we have in Aiken.
Okay. Any other comments?
I would just say, as everyone knows, I oppose the project the first reading, and I will do so again tonight, primarily because of my concerns about the traffic. I think ultimately I could be persuaded to support this project, maybe even a next phase if Silver Bluff is widened, if we take positive steps to deal with the traffic. But I just don't see the wisdom of the community continuing to add traffic to already burdened roads that are operating near capacity. I again would like to see a city traffic engineer permanently on the staff. I'd like to see these kinds of analysis done by staff as opposed to paid consultants, although I have no negative comments about the traffic engineer. He's been very helpful. I had a private conversation with him last week, and I'm sure it's a frustrating part of his job to deal with the education of city council people trying to learn his business. And we do in a short period of time have to make ourselves as experts. But I just think that the community needs to take more consideration of traffic issues, and for that reason, I'm not going to support the project.
Okay. Anyone else? I'd like to just say that, you know, we've all lived here for a while, and we all love our hospital, and we still do, and I still intend to go to Aiken Regional Hospital. And I think we have an opportunity, both, Aiken Regional and if this passes, University too, to get better and better at what we do. I mentioned this before, and you know, I think we all would probably agree, at least talking one-on-one, that competition usually makes us better. And so I see some competition here, certainly. I think we'd be blinded if we didn't see competition, but I think it can be a good thing, too. I think we can get better. Mr. Lassiter, Dr. Lassiter said in a previous meeting that, I don't know whether it was on the record or whether he mentioned it to me, that he already had an Aiken doctor, I think, sir, you said that, if I'm saying it wrong, that had it inquired about moving into the facility when it's built. And I just wanted to ask you again, that is something that is available to Aiken doctors as well. Is that correct? Okay. And we all know that Aiken Regional Medical has a place now, maybe two, a couple, out at Woodside in the new area, too. So as does University see this as a good spot to be, I think Aiken Regional sees it's a good spot to be, too, in the community out there. So, and also, I think we ought to consider, and I have no idea what the numbers would be, Anderson Pond Road's going to be paved, according to County Council, by the end of this year. So perhaps a number of those cars coming up north, traveling on Silver Bluff, and really wanting to get maybe over at the mall, instead of going through this area that we call congested, and it is at times, they will take Anderson Pond Road and get over to Whiskey Road. It'd be shorter for them to do that too. So that's a little consideration. And I've had a number of people tell me that they want a university hospital over here. And you hear numbers, 20%. The lady that spoke at our last meeting mentioned 30% of Aikenites go to Augusta hospitals, or maybe university hospital. I'm not sure, maybe it goes on. So there's not without some folks that do want to go over there and would want the services of a doc, a physician or two that would be in the building if it's in Aiken. But I think that Aiken Regional needs to look at why people go to Augusta, for that matter. I think that's something to look at. What is the reason? And vice versa. Because I suspect there are some people maybe living north Augusta and maybe even Augusta on the closest parts to Aiken that may come to Aiken for certain things. Certainly we can, I like the idea Jane mentioned, working together. We ought to work together. We can get better when we work together. And we can, not only in quality, I think, but we can have a better community. Obviously, we have a metropolitan area here of about 500,000 people. That's a pretty big area, metropolitan area. And look at all the hospitals over in Augusta. I talked to my friend, the mayor of Rock Hill, and about this situation. And he said, hey, we've got at least three hospitals up in that area that have similar situations where they have offices for doctors in Rock Hill, that the hospitals are not in Rock Hill. And his response was, hey, what's the problem? Now, I'm not trying to downplay the problem, because perhaps there's a legitimate problem. But the bottom line to me is I think we can work together. I think when people work together, they get better. Both of them get better. Both groups get better, whatever it is. And we can be friends. And you'd said, Doctor, that you would support the community, be involved. And does that go for your physicians that come over as well? I understand they're independent. I mean, they're going to do what they want to do, but hopefully they would want to be involved. And many of them might want to live in Aiken. And we hope they will. Okay, that's
Mr.
all
Mayor,
I'll say. Yes.
Let me reflect on and respond to something you said. I think in this discussion this evening, I don't think anyone got up from Aiken Regional to protest or to do anything in reference to this project tonight, and I don't think this is about the hospital at all. I think when we talk about who's going to university from Macon County, we need to look at Jackson, we need to look at Beach Island, we need to look at North Augusta and some of the Valley area. That's where your 30% is coming from. I think Aiken Regional serves the people of Aiken well, and I think they have their market share, and I think they're doing a great job. But I don't think this is about the differences between the two hospitals. And I think they do try their best to work with other people. And so I don't want to put them in the middle of this, because I'm very proud of the hospital, and I'm proud of the work they do, and I'm proud of the people they serve. And I think the people they don't get are fall in one of two categories. Either they live closer to Augusta, or they go for a specialty that's not here. And I'd like to say, go on record as saying that I'm really proud of the work they do. And I think if they're building just an office building, this is not University Hospital coming to Aiken, and we need to realize that. I see them nodding their heads that the hospital is not coming to Aiken. So if anybody thinks that, I think they're in for a rude awakening. It's just an office building, not the hospital coming. And so I don't want to make this us and them. It's just another business trying to come to Aiken, and let it be that.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, with that comment, I'd like to introduce a motion, if you don't mind. That
sure,
is
go ahead.
Remarks.
All right.
The motion is to approve the revised concept plan with the 8 conditions that has been recommended by the Planning Commission. And this is to approve the ordinance to revise the concept plan for the University Health Services.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second? I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Opposed? One. Passes 6-1. Thank everyone for their patience and the time that we've spent talking about this issue. Item 6 under old business is the expansion of the comprehensive plan study area. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Back in February, the Planning Commission asked Council to consider expanding the comprehensive plan area. Council had asked earlier that they review should we expand or not. If you look on page 153, it shows a map of the area that they feel should be expanded, and if council agrees tonight, they will begin the process of reviewing that and adding that to the comprehensive plan with some proposed improvements there, what zoning, etc. So the two areas is from the Rudy Mason Parkway to the northeast, and then the area between Charleston Highway and Tulbeck Road. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of the above recommendation from the Planning Commission concerning changes to the comprehensive plan boundaries.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I think this is is really what we ought to do, and I'd like to move that we approve this.
Okay.
Expansion of the comprehensive plan.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? I just want to add the same thing I've said many, many times. In my opinion, I agree with this. But on the other hand, too, I also agree that this is a guideline. And I hope that everyone would be open if there are other things that come out, depending on the circumstances and everything else. And we've been through some we would at least look at the opportunity without just saying, no, we're not going to expand beyond these borders. I think, in my opinion, it would be wise to leave that open, at least enough to look at the circumstances of a possible annexation outside of these borders, if everything seems proper. That's the way I'm going to look at it. That's all I'm saying. It is a guidance to us, this whole comprehensive plan.
I would just want to reiterate a comment I made in the in a work session when we spoke about this, and that is that I still have a concern about expanding into areas without citizens' knowledge or approval, and that seems to be what we're doing. I guess indirectly we're expanding the city boundaries in a way, because we're going to be providing services and so forth. So I know it's the way that it's been done, but I'm still not comfortable with it.
Just to answer that, these areas are primarily already in our water district, and so we're serving water there anyways. This allowed the Planning Commission to give guidance to Council as to what should be developed in those areas that we're currently serving water in.
Well, I understand, but we give them water, and then there's a stipulation that says you have to join the city, annex to the city as soon as you're eligible, and so forth. It's just an expansion of the city limits, and it's apparently the way it's always been done, but...
I appreciate your opinion. I mean, all of us have different opinions on a lot of things, and I just think that, and all I'm saying is this, and I don't think we're ever like this, but if we just absolutely close our minds to any particular expansion, regardless of the positive points of it, then I think that's certainly not doing our citizens justice either. And I disagree that our citizens don't know. You made a comment that annexation without our citizens knowing it. Annexations always have two readings at least. So our citizens have an opportunity to know everything we do up here. And all of our meetings are open, except every once in a while we'll have an executive session for one or two different categories of things. But we never make any decisions in our executive sessions, even if we have it. We come back in here and make a decision.
Let me clarify my comment, because that's not what you said. I said is not what I meant
sorry.
To say.
I'm sorry.
What we're doing tonight is we're simply expanding the areas that we're going to provide comprehensive plan support and sewers and water and so forth too. My comment about people is that we're doing this into areas they don't even know that we're doing it. Now, eventually they may be happy, and eventually they may want the services that we're going to provide, but the fact remains that we're doing it without their consent. We're just acting as a body and saying we're going to put our infrastructure into these areas. And so my concern is simply that we're doing it without the citizens being aware. They might not want the city to do this expansion. We're not giving any choice. We're just doing it.
Councilman, we're not forcing our water on anyone.
I know that.
Neither are we forcing our sewage on anyone.
I know that.
What we are doing is, as we saw in the work session, these study area, the areas where our water district and the area in which our comprehensive plan was just totally out of sorts with one another, and we're trying to bring them in, and all we're doing is giving our planning department and our planning commission the opportunity to look at these areas, which they have not done in the past, and say what they feel like should be in those areas. If they're ever redeveloped, or if anyone comes to us, then they can give us their guidelines as to what they felt like should go in these areas. That doesn't even mean that we have to agree with that. to me, it just makes good sense to do this, and we're not forcing anyone to out of their home, or we're not forcing them to change their property. All we're doing is just saying, in the future, if this piece of property does come into the city, have a recommendation from the Planning Commission saying we feel like this is what should go in that area, so that the recommendation could come to us with how it fits within the overall plan, which I think is a great thing.
Amen.
You know, what's the budget for a plan like this?
One of the reasons that we've been able to not have a property tax increase in the city limits of Aiken. Not appraisals, not the county, not the school board, but the city of Aiken in 21 years. It's because one of the main reasons is we've had some growth. We've had a little bit of growth every year. And all I'm saying, and I approve this, I like this. All I'm saying is, and we get into the discussion all the time when we're talking about annexations outside the comprehensive plan. So I guess we'll be saying the same things over and over again from time to time. But if we just close our eyes to no expansion, we become a closed box. And you have to pay your salaries to your workers. We have to raise taxes. We don't have expansions. Now, the expansions I'm talking about, and I think we've got a perfect example, we did not expand to the east when we looked at a big area of small houses and what have you. And the numbers were run by a staff, and it said that it would not be a good move. It would not be good to do this. It would not be financially beneficial. And if y'all recall this years ago, and we didn't do it. So all I'm saying is I think I would like to see council at least have an openness, if we ever get to that point again, and have an opportunity just to look at something outside the comprehensive plan to at least evaluate it and not have closed mind. But that's another subject. That's not this. Okay, we've got a motion and a second.
I think there's a question.
Oh, this is budgeted, I'm sure.
They're really, the only cost that there would be involved in this project, all of it would be done in-house with the Planning Commission, so we'll have some advertisement cost. There will be two public hearings. There will be one with the Planning Commission, so the citizens, and there's not very many citizens out there because it's basically all raw land right now.
Right.
Land. And then there will be a public hearing, of course, with City Council. But we're not going out to a consultant to do any of this work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I have to say, too, that I've had three phone calls in particular from people saying, what's the city doing? They're trying to annex my land now. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can just restate what Mr. Wells just said, is this is a proposal for what we think would be an optimum plan if expansion does need to occur, but the fact is that people say they don't know. They live in the county. They don't read the city council minutes. They don't get on the website. They don't do any of those things, and so they get alarmed when they think we're doing studies about their property, and we all know that.
You know, the good thing about this, though, is that it really does work to their benefit to know that if we already serve the area with water and somebody comes in with a very ridiculous project, we have the right to listen to them and say, you're not going to put that there. So it does, in some respect, work in their benefit.
Okay. We've got a motion and second. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor? Show of hands. Opposed? Okay. All right. First item under new business. First reading of an ordinance setting the millage rate for fiscal year 2009 to 2010. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to provide for the levy of taxes for ordinary city purposes and for capital development purposes in the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2009. Set the millage rate there at 66 mills and provide for the expenditures thereof. Every year the City Council has to, by law, set the millage rate and then approve the budget and any increases that we would have. At this point in time, we do not intend for there to be any increases. We're staying at the 66 mill rate, which there's advantages and disadvantages by not raising taxes. you know, that's a lot of it's philosophical as to whether you raise fees or you raise taxes. We have decided to keep our taxes where they're at. This is 21 years that we have not raised them. In fact, we've lowered them on several occasions. We've also had some major losses in revenues, and we've still been able to maintain this millage rate despite all those factors. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance setting the millage rate for the year 2009-2010 at 66 mills, which is the same as what we've had this past year. And upon your consideration, a second reading and public hearing will be held.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this reading of this ordinance setting the millage for the year 2009-2010 at 66 mills.
I'll second it, but I do have to make the point again that the taxes go up even if the millage rate doesn't because of appraisals.
And the only time that happens is about every five years. So for a five-year period of time, you're paying the same amount. It's almost like the winter averaging rate that we have.
I know.
And that's mandated by the state, and the county does that. It's not the city. So, okay. Any other comments? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Second item, first reading of an ordinance to approve the budget for fiscal year 2009-2010. Mr.
Leduc. Yes, sir. This is an ordinance adopting a budget proposed by the city manager containing estimates of proposed revenue and expenditures by the city of Aiken for fiscal year beginning July 1, 2009 and ending June 30, 2010, and declaring that the same shall constitute the budget of the city of Aiken for such fiscal year. We've had a lot of discussion on this year because of the economy that we're all facing, both personal and in our businesses. This year we do not have any rate increases, yet we're maintaining all the various services that we provide. In the past, we've been providing services, library and ADDA, and Council on Aging, Economic Development Partnership, etc. None of those will change. We are experiencing, we project a loss in revenue about $1.8 million next year. That's primarily due to the fact that the building permits we're anticipating still will be down significantly. We're expecting reduction in state revenue. The last I've heard is that the state is planning on reducing city and county statewide by $50 million, which is about a 27% reduction for us. Our fines and forfeitures are down somewhat. The major areas are interest, where year previous to this, we were experiencing 4, 5, 6% interest rate. We're now down to less than 1%. Vehicle taxes, we're seeing a slight reduction there, although in the last few months I've seen those starting to rise again, which is a good sign. And we're anticipating the business license fee to be down mainly because of construction and the auxiliary things that go along with it. We're freezing several positions until we see the economy gets better. Right now at 10, I believe there's one more that we had in the last couple of weeks that will make it 11. So we have no increases in fees, taxes in this next year's budget. It is a balanced budget and provides the same services as we had before without any reduction in any of those. The one area that I do want to caution council is we really should consider a rate increase for water and sewer, although it's not in the budget. I just last week analyzed through the month of March where our finances are at for expenditures and revenue, both for our general fund and for utilities. General fund, we're just climbing out of the hole. And with reductions that we've made with personnel, travel, some of the expenditures, that capital that we were planning on buying this year, we will probably actually have a slight surplus this year in our general fund. So I feel very confident that at the end of June, we'll be in pretty good shape. Conversely, though, the utilities will be falling several hundreds of thousands of dollars short this year. And what that means is we artificially try to set aside every year $1.2 million for needed either expansions or for
rehabilitation of water and sewer lines. For instance, we're getting ready to replace the sewer line on Kershaw Street just south of South Boundary. It was brought to our attention in a letter that we received from some citizens, and some of you had received a copy of that letter. Well, that's going to cost us several hundreds of thousands of dollars just to replace that line. We anticipate having to replace the Whiskey Road line, water line, from South Boundary down to approximately Knox Avenue, maybe even beyond those two areas. You see every year, once or twice a year, we have a major break in there, and that's a major water line, and will cost probably close to $1 million to replace it. And so every year we try to set aside $1.2 million for those types of replacements. Because we're not going to receive the revenue this year, it just means we'll be setting aside maybe $700,000 instead of $1.2 million, which means that some of the capital projects for water line or sewer line replacement will have to be delayed in the future. You could do that for a short period of time. You just can't look at that long term. For that reason, what I would suggest to you is that at this point in time, we not raise the water and sewer rates. See what happens during our peak periods, which is June, July, and August. And if we have a moderate to wet summer and therefore do not get the amount of revenue that we normally would, sewer's set. You know, as of May 1st, we've done our averaging now for the next year. So we pretty much could project sewer. But water, if you have a very wet summer, that means people will do a lot less irrigation, and therefore the revenue that we sometimes count on in the summertime will not be there. If we see that happens and we need to come back, I would suggest that by September we'll have a very good idea, and we can always come back to you in September. So we're taking some risk, hoping that we have a moderate to dry summer instead of a moderate to wet summer. So tonight our recommendation to you is to approve the budget as is, no increases whatsoever, with the idea that if we need to come back to you, we can with water and sewer. Now, if some of you want to recommend we go ahead with a rate increase with water and sewer, it would make us happy, and we'd be happy to go ahead and figure that in and make the adjustments for second reading. But if you propose not to, then we understand, and we'll look at it in the fall.
Roger, in reference to, and this is for infrastructure, I recognize that you're speaking of when you name the locations, but in general, overall, with the city and its infrastructure and water lines, where are we? Are we at 50% that we need to work on, 30%?
And again, we would not look at it in those types of percentage. I can tell you, Crawls and Park is going to about 10 years ago said we wanted to go over five phases to replace a large portion of the sewer lines in Crawls and Park, which are 55 years old. We've finished the first two phases. We probably have $1.5 to $2 million still in replacement of those sewer lines. The last time we went through there, just to avoid the inconvenience to the citizens in that area, we pushed another line through it by taking a machine that broke the pipe and actually expanded the pipe, and then you slip a line right behind it. That worked very well. It's a very expensive way of doing it, but then digging up backyards or digging up the street is also very expensive. Mm-hmm. So we have a large amount of sewer there. We have it, like I said, on Kershaw Street. We have two or three other areas, and then we have a number of areas for water lines that need replacement. The consequence, if you don't replace it, you have sewer backups, more maintenance, you have water line breaks. And if you haven't ever received a call from a person because the water line's leaking their front yard or their sewer line's backed up,
it's an emergency.
We, you know, of course it's an emergency and we react to it, but it's an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. And it does cost money to make those repairs. So we try to stay ahead as much as possible. And we've been doing a pretty good job, but I could see that we could be falling behind if we're not careful in the near future. So let me just read this officially so we have it in the record. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to approve the budget for the City of Aiken for fiscal year 09-10, and upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing will be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mayor.
All right. Any discussion?
My comment is that we wait and see rather than approve.
Yeah. No increases. No increases. Any other comment? Show of hands, please.
Just quickly, I think Roger's done a great job in structuring his budget in a difficult time. And I know it's not easy, but you've done a great job in juggling the numbers and putting us in a situation where we don't have to raise taxes and we can even delay a potential increase. So I think you should be commended for your outstanding job.
And I want to commend all the department heads and the staff that we have. As I said, this year was one of the more difficult years, but in meeting with every employee and every employee group and then meeting with the department heads more often than I normally would, they came up with a number of great suggestions for reductions and ways to save some money. And that's one of the reasons why our budget, especially the general fund, is in better shape than we had anticipated. So it's been a lot of participation by a lot of folks, and credit goes out to a lot of individuals, especially in that back row.
I saw them patting themselves on the back.
Yeah, I saw that. Just pat each other on the back a little bit. That'd be great.
That's right. You deserve it. Is Kim back there?
No. She's back there.
Huh? Okay.
She's back
there. Yeah, there she is. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. All right. Item 3, approval of the Planning Commission action agenda.
Yes, sir. On Monday, April 20th, the majority of City Council met with the majority of the Planning Commission to develop an action agenda for the coming year. Of course, with the action agenda, items can be added during the year, and you've typically in the last several years added two or three items of a short duration as necessary. But this gives them a guideline as to where they need to go and items they need to develop. When we sat down and developed this list, I did add number one to the list, which you all didn't have, anticipating that you might approve number one tonight. So on the list here is possible expansion of the comprehensive plan study area. I placed it as the number one because that was high in the list from before. In fact, it was at the very top of the list. So that is added to the list of what you all came up with at that meeting. If you want to move that one or any of these other the entire eight in any way or another, certainly please feel free to let us know tonight. But before tonight is the list that the Planning Commission and City Council agreed to for the seven items. Like I said, I did add the first item here, which you did approve earlier in the meeting tonight. So for your consideration, this is approval of the action agenda for the Planning Commission for fiscal year 09-10.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Discussion?
I just have a question. When we say large tracks, what do we mean?
Ed, I'll let you answer that one. What do I mean by large tracks? They're just getting started on this one here, and there is a passionate discussion at the meeting. Wilkinsburg primarily was the one that brought this up. So.
We don't know.
That's why I had to answer this one.
Well, that's fine then, because one of the things I'm concerned about is the size of the footprint of the buildings allowed in a limited professional zone, which is in the historic district. And if you'll, and so if a tract is not 5 acres, then maybe that's included in there, is what I'm thinking.
Well, that's right. It's on the action agenda to determine that.
And okay. one of the examples that was given at the meeting was, what if the train track, which is owned by a consortium of individuals, they decided to no longer have it and they wanted to sell it? Can they cut it into pieces? What size? How are they going to deal with it? So that's part of dealing with this whole issue. And as Ed said, and that's why I had him come up here, so he says it so much better than I do, is we don't know, and that's what we're going to try to figure this out.
Okay.
Okay. Any other thing? Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 4, revisions to utility request for the water. It's 1474 Columbia Highway North. And I think we have two ladies that want to talk. Do you want to say anything on this subject? Okay.
If I could first?
Yeah. Okay, you go ahead, Roger.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
First of all, this was done in 2000 by City Council. It was a utility request. As with any utility request, you generally have conditions for that utility request. In this per case, council approved one sign. It was very similar to what we had at the last meeting when the school came up, and you know, we always say that it'll abide by the landscaping and signage and driveways and other things that we would have inside the city of Aiken, which in that case was one sign, or in the case for the school was a certain size. This came up when a second shop was opened up there, in this case a beauty salon and tanning area. I got a call late this afternoon from Jim Stewart, who owns the property, and he is really the one who you gave that approval to. Was he owns the property, and he's the one that had to come back officially and ask for that change. He did apologize. He didn't give me the exact reasons. I didn't really want to try and ask the exact reasons, but he is not able to be here tonight. He wished he could be, but other situation prevented him from being here. He did state, though, that he would like council to seriously consider adding a second sign for this location. Many, if not most of you, have probably seen the situation. He recently sold another piece of property that's going to be right next to it, where I believe a dental office. And so, again, there are going to be other buildings that are going to be out there, each with their own individual signage. So for your consideration tonight, this is modification of condition number 4 in the utility request that you made in 2000, which would allow a second sign to be located at that property.
And we would be opening this up, is that correct? If we change this, then anyone else could come in and ask for two signs. Is that right?
Again, you always look at these on a case-by-case basis.
And the condition.
Just like you changed the condition allowing a larger sign at the school last time. Mm-hmm. Again, it's case-by-case looking at it. So.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Ashley Dean. I'm 507 Archie Ware Road, Ridge Spring, South Carolina. I just want to say, first of all, that we were unaware of the sign problem when we came to open our business with Mr. Stewart. And we do have the proper permit and everything that we need for our sign with the county, because the building is actually in the county, but he, for reasons that I don't know, wanted city utilities to be used at the building. So we did follow the proper procedures as far as getting our sign to our knowledge, because he never, when we went into the contract of leasing the space from him, never brought to our attention that we were not allowed to put a sign in front of our business. So we went through the procedures of getting a sign with the county. And what we thought were the proper ways of going about it, because, like I said, it was not brought to our attention that the utilities and the building were on separate, I don't know what you would call it, but they were dealt with separately. Second of all, I would just like to ask for you to consider allowing us to leave our sign there.
It's already in place?
Yes. It's 90% of our new clientele come from that sign. And I'm very young. It's my first business, and my husband just got laid off from his job, and it's our only source of income. And without the sign, I just don't think that our business would survive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ashley. Did you want to say anything also? Let me try to understand what we've got here. We have two pieces of property. Both of them have signs now?
No, there's one building there with different shops in it.
Okay.
And there could be as many as three, depend, you know, and when he built it initially, and I'm going to make some assumptions since Jim's not here, somebody could have rented that whole entire building, somebody could have rented a third of the building or two-thirds of the building. A financial center went in there initially and put up a sign. There's an electronic sign there as you go by. I believe the other portion of the building was not being used for a number of years. This particular business went in there, as she stated. She thought she was in the county, and they are. I mean, the business is in the county. Went through the proper procedures with the county. Our inspector, Mr. Paradise, just through driving around, saw here's a building with two signs and checked into the conditions way back when and saw that only one sign was approved. And so a letter went to them probably 4 or 5 months ago, and we've been kind of trading back correspondence back and forth to try to get this straightened out, and that's when I let Mr. Stewart know that he really needed to ask for a change in condition for us to allow that signage, and that's why they're here tonight.
Okay, who's in the other? Who has the other sign?
I'm here to represent Gunn Allen Financial, owned by Rick Manti.
And your name?
My name is Ashley Donahue, sorry.
Ashley.
Yes, 650 Silver Bluff Road.
Both of your name, Ashley?
Yes. I'm here on behalf of Rick Manti tonight. What I think the situation is, we leased from Mr. Stewart, but then we subleased the other side, I think. I don't know the proper terminology for that, but... we have a huge sign, I know all of you have seen, on Highway 1 that advertises 6% CDs.
Right.
So it's an LED sign that has the ability to change and, you know, blink and do all these sorts of things. So a couple of months ago, we were asked to turn the movement of the sign completely off and leave it stagnant to where it just says one set of things. So it already has kind of hindered the use of the sign to where we can only crunch so many words into it. So, and then in March, we were told that, or issued, I guess, a citation maybe to get it fixed, that we had two signs on the same lot, which we were also unaware of the way they had the city utilities, and we were in the county, that we didn't know that that existed. So, or we would have went over and said, hey, wait on your sign, we've got to, you know, get it figured out. But we also have our proper, you know, permits and things, and I guess when the blinking signs came about, we were not grandfathered. So we support their sign, their business, and we all work harmoniously together. So it would affect us if they left as well, or, you know, if their business crumbles because of the loss of the sign. So I guess we're asking that you guys support both signs.
Okay. Are they? What's the size of the sign? The other sign, Ashley's sign.
I have our permit. It's not a very big sign.
Yeah. Is it as visible as that other sign that they have?
They're different heights, so I think that they are. It's a visible sign, but it's not as huge as what theirs is. Ours is on a smaller scale. I don't know how this works. I can just hand this to you. That's
sure.
Okay.
Sure, that's fine.
square feet is the sign face.
24 square feet.
That's
6x5.
4x6. 4x6.
Could your sign not go on there? I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here. Here. Could your sign not go on the bottom of their sign?
The way that it's made, theirs is really narrow at the bottom and then just large at the top, and ours is just a large sign that's on two posts. So there's really no way to combine the two signs. We would actually most likely have to get a new sign altogether with one business on one side and one business on the other side. which would just be a great expense for both businesses. His sign was I think $25,000 sign, and mine's a much smaller scale, only $4,000, but to me that's a lot of money.
Can we do what Mr. Stewart requests, which is allow a variance for the second sign for the certainly, as long as she operates
her
business?
That's why we're bringing it back to City Council. At any time, like we have with the university or anything else, Council can go ahead and modify the conditions for a water request, concept plan, any of these other things. And it's a very difficult thing for us as we make these inspections, but again, if we just have to abide by whatever council eventually states. That's why, like with the school sign, which I think we eventually said, 48 square feet? Isn't that what we decided?
32.
Beverly?
32.
What did we decide on the sign for the school? 48 square feet?
48.
Mm-hmm. So again, we made that modification because we allow 24 square feet, 32 square feet, and we said, well, we'll go up another 50% larger on that sign. So, and again, that was approved several years ago for a water utility request. So again, if council wants tonight, they could allow two signs. They could vary the size of the sign. They could say within X number of years you have to abide down to one sign. I mean, you could do whatever you want to.
Roger, could we do it? Could we allow the two signs, say, until the property becomes contiguous and then is annexed, and at that time they must abide by the current sign?
Again, of course, you could do that if you want to.
Oh, okay.
It may be a year, it may be 30 years before it's ever contiguous. What Mr. Stewart has done is he's put if I recall correctly, Mr. Evans, a permanent easement between the Crawlsland Park property and his property. So there's like a 10 or 15 foot strip in there.
There used to be. It's gone.
Oh, it is now gone. Okay. So, but yes, we can go ahead and do that.
I like that recommendation.
The problem is that I was thinking, if we leave it, that's fine with me. I'm all for leaving it. But if that place becomes vacant again, I'm thinking the problem. It's laid out such that there could be two businesses there. So in the future, if we said we wanted to change a type sign where you had all on the same sign, then that would mean they'd have to take down the other sign that's already up there also.
They both would have to take
which
down.
Which is another waste of money.
Right.
And in order to get it into the city specs as far as signage goes. So that doesn't sound like a smart thing to do either.
Mr. Mayor.
As long as that business stays there. Now, if both businesses out of there, then that's a...
Mr. Mayor, why can't we just do what he has suggested?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just leave it?
Well, I think we can.
And just...
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
John, you want to make... Well, I'll second it.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
So do you know what it's saying? That it's going to allow it temporarily until your business needs a space back or until the property is allowed into the city? Is that acceptable?
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying.
Did we ever approve that LED sign? I don't remember.
Yeah, the LED
sign are allowed in the city. Good example is USC Aiken Convention
right.
Center,
sure.
Millbrook Baptist Church. But also we have a requirement that says that sign face could change only once every 24 hours.
All right.
So every 24 hours, they could change the rate to 5.9%, 6.1, but they can't change it every 10 seconds or 1 minute. And the reason Planning Commission has come to that conclusion is they don't want those signs to become a distraction. And
sure.
But they are allowed. They just can't change the face but once every 24 hours.
Okay,
we've got motion and second. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Can I, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, let me just repeat the motion for the record so we all understand what the motion is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. That the sign can remain, but if either one of the businesses
change,
then they go back to one sign, or with if we ever annex a property, they'd only have one sign. Okay?
But if they go back to one sign, it gets into that situation again that the other business, in order to have one sign with two names on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Somebody's going
to take down the other sign.
Or modify the other sign.
Can you modify that sign to put another sign on it? I don't know how you're going to do
it. It takes a lot of
work. Yeah, it'll take a lot of work. Okay, we know what the motion is anyway, right? Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Thank you.
Okay.
Passes
unanimously.
Y'all.
And I hope your business prospers in both of them.
Then you won't care about the new sign. We're all doing lots of things.
Good luck to both of you.
Bye.
Okay. Item 5, approval of the deed of dedication for sanitary sewer lines and easements in Woodside Plantation.
Yes, sir. We have several deed of dedications in Woodside. Most of these have been in the ground for at least a year to 2 years. If you recall, the new regulations that we have states that as soon as we accept a sewer line or as soon as we accept a water line, for them to get that operating permit from DHEC, we need to be prepared to accept these. So these are really long overdue. However, even being long overdue, we did go out there, we did review them, we did find them still acceptable with no problem. So what we are going to be acquiring is in good shape. There are separate deed of dedications. I have put them all together. You could look at them individually. We could look at them jointly to save time. I made them as one motion. These sewer lines represent Phase 3, Sections 8A and 9A, and Section 14, and Phase 4, Sections 1 through 6. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of the deed of dedication for sanitary sewer lines and easements in Woodside Plantation for Phase 2, Sections 8A, 9A, 14, and Phase 4, Sections 2 and 3.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? A second.
Move. So, go ahead.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? They're not leaking, are they, Pat?
I was thinking the same.
Okay. Got some duct tape around some of them? Okay. All right. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. All right. Last item, I think, is scheduled for the council meetings in May, July, and August. 2009.
Okay, this is a tough one here, and I know it's going to disappoint you all very much, but I'm recommending we cancel our second meeting in May for Memorial Day, and that we also cancel our second meeting in July and August so that those of you that want to take a vacation could do so and not miss council meeting, because we know how you long to come here every other Monday night. So for your consideration tonight, this is cancellation of the second meeting in May, July, and August.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Cancel. I'll second it. Any discussion? And as we all know, and we always have known, if we something comes up we have to meet on, we will meet.
Absolutely.
No. I remember a couple of months there, and y'all do too probably, where we've met even more times. There's been a couple of times like that. Okay, any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. All right.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Before we close and adjourn, may I mention a letter that's been placed on our desk relative to the signs along the
Powder House or
the Martin Luther King
signs? Martin Luther King signs.
Okay. Yeah.
It appears that the SCDOT will not honor the request until it comes from the General Assembly, And just in case there's one member of the General Assembly here tonight, I just wanted to formally ask that that somebody put this forward.
Okay, I think that's good. Thank you. You know who the General Assembly person is here tonight?
Maybe Henry.
Representative Clyburn. Welcome, welcome, Bill.
It's rather disappointing that, you know, you all passed this in January. We've been calling the state week after week after week after week. We finally got, we went through about five different people, finally got to the right person. They said they'll get back to us, and within just a few days, this letter showed up saying, oh, we can't approve it. And that's why you don't have your sign. So I just wanted, we just got this in this afternoon, and so I wanted you all to see it, and we'll go to the General Assembly and see if they can go ahead and get the Martin Luther King signs made.
Okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to go to them?
I will.
Do you need a letter or, mm-hmm. or what?
Since we have an ordinance that we passed, I could do it, Mr. Mayor, or you could sign a letter asking them, based on the ordinance that City Council passed, to have these signs erected by the Highway Department and installed.
Okay. You think I should sign it, Bill? Or does it matter to you, or do you think it would matter to the
General, you haven't seen this letter.
General Assembly?
It's rather short.
Yeah.
What about the Highway Department? I mean, are they going to do their big old green sign? You know, we talked about that a long time, too.
We were asking them to put in a larger size sign as you're coming southbound,
right,
in the,
like,
rural area.
Which we talked about.
But down at the end of South Boundary at and Lawrence, to put in a smaller, browner, historic-looking sign.
Okay.
That would be more appropriate at that location, because the speed limit also is only minimal as you're going northbound.
I just don't want to end up with what we had before that everybody complained about, you know, the big green thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Bill Clyburn. Yes, sir, I would just do the letter, and I will follow up on it.
Get the mayor to sign it, Bill.
Yes.
You want me to sign it?
Yes,
sir. I'll be glad to sign it. Okay. Thank you, sir.
And send it to Roland.
Yes, I would submit it to the chairman of the delegation.
Delegation, okay.
And we'll take it from there.
Okay. Got anything else you want to tell us while you're there?
Got any extra money?
Well, you know, I was glad to hear that you're going to survive budgetary-wise without raising fees and taxes, and I think that's absolutely outstanding. And I agree with the city manager. It took staff and good guidance from council, so it's working out well. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Okay. Anything else? We'll adjourn then. All right.
Yeah, we just got this in the chat too. Gosh.
No,
4 months later, I couldn't tell us that in the first week.
Did you too? May as well, right?
See ya, guy.
If you don't wear glasses, you never
understand. Okay, so you can't find them.